Welcome back to the KPO Podcast, the podcast where we delve into the pages of extraordinary literary works that inspire, challenge, and ignite our imagination. I'm your host, Jagisha, and today we embark on an exhilarating journey through the captivating world of Retrospective, written by the brilliant wordsmith Juan Gabriel Vasquez. Retrospective is not just a book. It's an invitation to explore the intricacies of human existence, to reflect on the past, and to contemplate the vast tapestry of life's profound moments. Within these pages, Vasquez skillfully weaves together the threads of history, memory, and personal introspection, creating a narrative that resonates deep within our souls. Let's talk to Juan to learn more. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's start off. Tell us about your book.
Well, Retrospective is a strange book because it's a novel in which nothing is made up. None of the events in the book are made up. But I still claim that it's a novel. It's the story of somebody I know, a friend of mine, Colombian filmmaker Sergio Cabrera. We met at the beginning of this century, but around the year 2012, we started having these conversations about his life. And I discovered that behind his public persona as a filmmaker, he had a fascinating life. As a boy, as a young man, he was the son of an exile from the Spanish Civil War that had grown close to left-wing ideologies in the 50s. In the 60s, he decided to take his family to communist China to educate his children in communism and train them as future revolutionaries. And then at the end of the 60s, the whole family came back to Colombia to join the revolution, to join the Maoist guerrilla, one of the three illegal armies that were trying to bring about the revolution in Colombia. So this life was a life of adventure, of exotic events, really a larger than life experience. But to me, it also spoke about important things that I have tried to deal with in my fiction. It spoke about that place in which public events and history and politics kind of crash into our private lives, into our lives as fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and siblings and friends and lovers, and they shape them. And so it became clear to me that I had to tell this story, but I had to imagine it from the character's point of view. Imagine this whole adventure, not as a witness who tells about somebody else's story, but going inside their minds and their emotions. And this is what I did. And this is basically why I call this book a novel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think when I first heard that it was based on an actual family, I was fascinated, especially their time in China. The whole description, the fact that they were there by themselves as teenagers, it was mind blowing to me that the parents would leave, go back to Colombia, and then they would be there by themselves. I couldn't imagine as a teenager myself.
Yes, well, the children have arrived in China at ages 13 and 11, I think. And they're educated in communism. They're educated with the revolution as an objective. And in the middle of that, the parents decide it's time for them to go back to Colombia and join the revolution back there. And so they leave their children in this 17-story hotel called the Peace Hotel in Beijing, a place that had been closed down by the Communist Party. But because of internal regulations, this was how things worked back then. It's still working. It has no guests, but people still work there. And so these two Colombian teenagers find themselves as the only guests of a huge hotel at a time in which the whole country, communist China, is going through a very particular upheaval. It was a cultural revolution. So this is just one of many anecdotes that when I learned through hours and hours of conversation with Sergio Cabrera, I realized this is a novel. This has to go in a novel. Mm-hmm. This kind of sentimental education of somebody who is discovering their own way in the world as political citizens, as believers in an ideology, but also as private individuals, as teenagers who have their own preoccupations and are having boyfriends and girlfriends and discovering a way of being alive and this and discovering how to be a friend and the sons and daughters of people they admire. All this seemed to me exactly like the kind of thing that a novel deals with, mm-hmm. that contrast between the private and the public, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what I try to do.
So, and that's the thing about making it into a novel is fascinating, because you have to have a story, you know, a character arc. So the character of Sergio or Marianella, there has to be this arc. So how did you go about figuring out, like, how did they change? How did they grow from, as you know, as their young children, and then they come into adulthood, become parents?
Yeah, yes. This is a very interesting question. Well, I realized over the years and over many, many hours of conversation with Sergio that probably the most difficult thing for me as a novelist would be how to organize mm-hmm. the chaos of information that I had. I had tons and tons of fascinating information about them, their lives, the lives of their parents, the history of their families, the public history of these places that I was trying to narrate, but how to organize them, how to make them into a story, which is what you're asking, and I think it's very, very interesting. And then reality, in a way, gave me the answer. It was October of 2016, mm-hmm. and the following things happened to Sergio in just a couple of weeks. His father died. His father, whom he had admired, also had a very tense relationship with, but who had, in a way, shaped his life. He died. At the same time, Sergio is going through a personal crisis in his marriage. So his marriage is falling apart. His wife, who is Portuguese, has just left for Portugal. And Sergio starts to ponder how to fix the whole thing. And thirdly, at the same time, there's a referendum in Colombia about the peace negotiations that we have been carrying out, or rather the government is carrying out, with the Marxist guerrillas of the FARC to try to end a 50-year-old war that has killed or displaced or affected 8 million people. And the referendum rejects the agreements, which is not what I wanted, which is not what Sergio wanted. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, his country is falling apart, or he feels that way. His marriage is falling apart, and his father has just died. And I thought, this is the kind of moment when a person starts remembering his past, mm-hmm. to try to come to terms with his past, to try to figure out why past events in his life have led him to where he is right now. And this is how I came to the organizing principle of beginning the novel in that present moment, the moment of the triple crisis, and then going back to remember, or rather going back with Sergio for him to remember his life, which is obviously why the book is called a retrospective, not only in the literal sense of the showing of his films in a Spanish cinema, but also the act of remembering your own life and coming to terms with it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of his films, so I guess I look at it as Mao's views, where art isn't necessarily approved of, it's considered bourgeoisie. So how did Sergio make the leap between his his time in China being and his beliefs and then going into making films?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is one of the many contradictions that seem to me interesting and that became the themes of the book. Of course, I've always thought literature, arts in general, but particularly literature, filmmaking, narrative arts have in common with politics. They are both ways of telling a story. Mm-hmm. An ideology is just a very sophisticated story that is being dictated from high up to believers, right? And in the life of an artist who is also a political being, there's always this tension. Mm-hmm. There are those two different ways of storytelling that are competing in yourself. Of course, the big difference is that ideology, politics, history, when seen in a political light, they're always stories that are being imposed on us by those who have the power to do so. Mm-hmm. Those great storytellers that we may call the state or the party or even the church, they are storytellers and they're trying to impose their own version of the past or of the present on us. Art, on the other hand, is a place where we reject that imposition. Mm-hmm. Art is novels, literature, for me, are the place where we, as private individuals, we dissent. We say we don't agree with your take on our past. We say we try to recover the right to tell our own story instead of letting somebody else impose their versions on us. And so in that sense, art becomes a place of freedom. Mm-hmm. And there is a tension. There is a tension between storytelling used as a way of becoming more free, more in charge of our own story, and storytelling used to control citizens or societies. Mm-hmm. They are at odds in general. But when I realized that Sergio's life was a perfect example of this, I said, this is something I have to write about.
Yes, that makes sense. And I love the parallels between the two and showing them as both being storytelling, a form of storytelling. So tell us more about his films. What type of storytelling, what story is he telling us in his films?
Yes. Well, his best known film is called The Strategy of the Snail. It was released in the 1990s. It became one of the most beloved and popular Latin American films back then. And it tells a story, and this is very interesting. It tells a story of a small revolution taking place in downtown Bogota when a group of people who are all lodgers in a building are about to be expelled from the building. And so they organize their own way of answering to that, to the brutality of their of the owners of the building. And what takes place is a small popular revolution, as I say, of a very small scale. But what's interesting is that Sergio's father is an important character in the film. And he is a Spanish anarchist who has been through the civil war and who organizes the small popular revolution that is taking place in this neighborhood. So in a sense, the whole film mimics Sergio's experience. Mm-hmm. as part of the attempts that were being made all over South America to bring the revolution to the continent, you know, at the same time as the Cuban Revolution was taking place, or rather as a consequence of the Cuban Revolution. So this is one of his films. The other ones are very varied. They are adaptations of great Colombian novels, a novel by Álvaro Mutis, who is a great Colombian writer, a novel by Santiago Gamboa, who is a writer from my generation that I appreciate. But in all of his films, you kind of see a little window through which you can see his life experience, which was full of conflict, full of suffering, really, with wounds that he suffered, both physical and emotional. Mm-hmm. And so it's to read the novel, to have written the novel, and then to go back to his films, it's also a window to somebody's personality that I find very interesting.
Yes, I can imagine. So I know another film that was mentioned in the novel was the one with the soccer match where they are watching the World Cup and they stop. It's a comedy, but it's also very amazing, like the way they stop the fighting and the match brings them together.
Yes, yes, it's a comedy, it's a farce, but about very serious things. it was done in the middle of the 90s too, when the prospect of peace for Colombia was really far, far away. Still right now, when we have passed the peace agreements, finally, we are trying to make them real, to make them happen. And it's still a country in conflict. It's still going through a lot of violence. We're still not there. So mm-hmm. to look back on that, which is a place in which Colombians come together for some purpose, even if it's short-lived. This is something that we all would like to see happening in real life. We haven't been able to make.
So how long did writing this book take you? Seems like you started talking about it in 2012, so have you been writing for several years?
No, I have been researching for several years. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I was aware of was that the shape of the book was the most difficult thing. So we started talking in 2013 while I wrote other books. But then I amassed this wealth of information. I had a mountain of mm-hmm. information through conversations with Sergio, with his sister, through research, through historical research about the places the novel discusses, the Spanish Civil War, the Cultural Revolution in China, the South American revolutionary movements of the 60s. But how to give shape to all of that? That was the difficult answer. I thought at some point that I would write as somebody who investigates into somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. And so that the novel will be told by Juan Gabriel Vázquez, who goes around asking questions and discovering things. But then I realized the way to do it was to disappear from the novel, to tell the novel in a third person, very classical, almost resembling a 19th century novel, an adventure novel with lots of private issues, family conflicts, but also public conflicts. Because this was the way for me to open a space mm-hmm. in which the reader would be invited not to judge the characters, but to try to understand them. If I disappeared from the book, if the things happened on their own, if I assumed the sensibility and the ideology even, and the point of view of the characters, then I would open up a space in which the reader would not go in trying to judge and condemn or absolve the characters, but trying to be them and trying to live through them and to understand their lives. And this was my main difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Now, were there, were there parts that you had to leave out that you maybe had hoped you could leave in the book? Imagine you got all the major important parts, but were there things that you had to leave out?
I didn't, but this is very important. because when I started writing, I knew I was dealing with such sensitive issues in Colombia. All these conversations are difficult. It was difficult for my characters to remember the past that they had tried to forget for their whole lives. It was difficult for them to talk about things they had never discussed in public, and to talk about things that still represent a lot of tension and conflict in my country. So much so that when the novel was about to be published, on the day of publication, Sergio called me and said, you know, I'm a little bit scared about publishing this book. And I tried to make light of it. And I said, okay, tell me three things that scare you. And he said, well, the reaction of the right, the reaction of the left, and the reaction of my family. So I knew that this really represented an effort for him. Because of all of this, before writing, I said to him, you will read the final manuscript and you will have a right to veto. I will give you a right to veto, to edit, to take back things, whatever you like. In the end, he didn't do anything of that. He mm-hmm. didn't change what he had told me. He didn't ask me to leave out anything that he had included. He even read the book as a memory aid. And in reading the manuscript, he remembered things that he hadn't told mm-hmm. me. And so we could include them in the book. All this to say that, no, I didn't leave anything out that I would have liked to include. This is why I value this book so much, because it was an act of honesty on their part. Mm-hmm. It was so generous in the telling of things that were difficult for them. Difficult situations, conflicts, violence. They had spent their lives trying to come to terms with it, mm-hmm. with their life. And in this book, they did. They were completely upfront. And this is something that I appreciate very much.
Yeah, absolutely. So how was the response then that he was feared now that the book is out? How did it go?
Let me just put it this way. After the book, he was asked by the Colombian president to become the next Colombian ambassador in China. So this is how it went. It became the seed for a new life for him, a different life, a very interesting one. And it also became a place, the book, where he could discuss difficult things with his family, mm-hmm. with his children, with his wife. So all that makes it for me, all that makes me proud, for mm-hmm. one thing. Also turns the whole experience into a big privilege for mm-hmm. a storyteller like myself. Mm-hmm.
So last question, I know we have to finish here. Do you think Sergio will ever turn this book into a film?
Well, this is definitely what he wants. Mm-hmm. It was his project. It's fascinating to hear him speak, how he read the manuscript when I gave it to him for the first time, with three hats, so to speak. He was a reader, a character, and a potential filmmaker, mm-hmm. trying to turn his whole life story into a film. So that's definitely part of his projects. But he has now become an ambassador, so he has at least 4 years ahead of him in which mm-hmm. he will be concentrated on other things. For my part, I just hope he is able to do the film. Nobody mm-hmm. else could, really. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy and proud to give him the words and the structure and the organization to facilitate turning his whole life into his art, his craft.
Well, thank you so much for your time and also for this amazing story that you've written for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jagish. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yes, same.
Well, hello, listeners. If you are participating in summer reading and want to do the podcast challenge, the code word is community. Once again, the code word is community. And that brings us to the end of our journey through the captivating pages of Retrospective by Juan Gabriel Vázquez. We hope you enjoyed this exploration of history, memory, and the profound impact of our collective past. As always, we want to express our gratitude to you, our listeners, for joining us on this literary adventure. Your support and engagement means the world. Until next time.